Father, thank you so much for our time together again, the three of us plus you. Please come down and relieve our hearts of the cares and burdens and complicated things that have happened to us today. And come and visit us and open to us the book of Proverbs, chapters 10, 11, and 12. In the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Proverbs chapter 10 is a little bit of a change of venue here. And we've had the opening chapters, nine chapters we've had about, which are a father's advice to his young son through growing up and maturing. And we've saw that the father gives advice to his son, very wise instruction. And then we find the boy's mother, personified as the woman wisdom, is also giving good advice. And we followed this boy as he goes from childhood to manhood and leaves home and goes out and meets women, good and bad, and meets traveling companions in life. And so chapter 10 picks up that same theme. The Proverbs of Solomon, chapter 10, verse 1. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. That's pretty self-evident, that if a son screws up, it's heartbreaking for the dad, and it's even worse for the mom. The mom thinks she's failed, and she takes it all too personally, regardless of the causes for the son's failure in life. A wise son makes a glad father. Son, I'm very proud of you. You did really well in that speech you gave today to Congress. You have made some great decisions, and I am really proud to be your father. That'd be the dad speaking. A good dad, not a destructive dad. And the foolish son is somebody who squanders his inheritance and goes down the wrong road in life and is a lazy and homeless and so on. And this guy is going to be noticed by his mother more than his dad. His dad written the kid off a long time ago, but mom is going to have a heartbroken. I failed as a mother. What could I have done? She says. So that's verse 1-2. Chapter 10, verse 2. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked. That's pretty self-evident also, that if you're going to go in life and be a criminal or a dictator or take advantage of everybody to get rich at their expense, then you're going to end up with nothing at the end of your life, because God's going to take away all that you have. Integrity, which is righteousness here, would be long-term relationship with Jesus and rebounding from trials and being concerned about your own personal integrity long-term is what's going to save your life in the long run. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish. He casts away the desire of the wicked. So there's a contrast here. It's not short-term, it's long-term. That in the long run, you'll see the people of God surviving and prospering and doing well, not necessarily financially, but as persons. And you'll find that the ambitious, selfish, proud, arrogant schemer in life is going to end up with nothing. He may have owned a big company or had an important job, but it's all gone away when he gets old and dies. Who deals with a slack hand becomes poor. That means the person who's irresponsible, a slack hand, who does not pay attention to integrity and good morals and so on, that person's going to lose everything in the long run. The hand of the diligent makes me rich. Makes one rich. So the father says, long term, he wants his son to succeed in life and to do well. And that will, in fact, happen because God brings it about. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. In ancient world, with an agricultural economy, you plant crops and you harvest the crops, and in the harvest season you work really hard, and you wouldn't think of taking a day off to sleep or to go to the beach when you're harvesting the wheat. That's the idea here. He who sleeps in harvest is the son who causes shame. Farmer Brown is harvesting his crops, and all the neighbors see that he's working really hard and doesn't have any help. And people say, well, where's your son Bill? Where's your son Joe? And the father has to say, well, they moved away. And so that means that Farmer Brown has no help in the harvest.
Lambert, remember how Paul, I think in Timothy, he says, I have finished the race?
Yeah.
I think maybe this verse might mirror that just a little bit, where don't start off really strong in the beginning and kind of waver off in the middle and drop off at the end, where you're going to reap the rewards at the very
end. Good, Dave. I like that. That's excellent. Paul and Timothy. And that's a very insightful. Thank you. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. It means God's going to find out your motives in the long run and test you. And eventually the whole world's going to see the real story of your life, good or bad, because it's all going to come out in the open. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. If you look at history, all kinds of people who looked rich, famous, and successful have totally vanished from the history, and they're forgotten. You can go visit their graves or their tombs, and you won't even remember anything about them. They're forgotten. On the other hand, if you lived a godly life, you will be remembered generation after generation. That's very true. We all emulate relatives and grandparents and leaders in our generation. We all remember them and benefit from knowing them long after they're gone from the stage. So that's another thing that God does, is he vindicates the righteous long term. The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fail. Chatterbug, the wise in heart is teachable. If you are a wise man, you will listen to instruction from your father and from your peers and from others in the culture, and you will change your course as appropriate with discernment. You won't do everything everybody wants you to do, but you will be teachable all your life long. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. Your evil in your heart will find you out in the long run. That's what this is about. The prating fool will fail in verse 8. That's the person who's careless, undiscerning, reckless, doesn't have a very good prognosis. He who winks with the eye causes trouble. A prating fool will fall. Winking with the eye would be to turning, looking the other way when somebody's about to mess up. It would be being detached when you could solve a problem if you got involved. It means watching on the bank while somebody drowns in the pool, and not rushing in to help them in any way, or not throwing them a lifeline. And that kind of aloof indifference is common in our world. I don't want to get involved. I might have to go to court. I saw this accident, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm not going to tell anybody. So all those things that go on in us that make us detached and uninvolved in life, that's not pleasing to God. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Violence covers the mouth of the wicked. That echoes what we saw in James a while back about the tongue. The tongue has this great power to bless or to curse. We can destroy people with the tongue. We can also bless people with the tongue, and we have the power to do either. And we are capable of concealing violence, hatred, and murder in our hearts, and not letting people know that we hate them, we want to destroy them, we think ill of them, because we have that, we have the ability to be cunning and deceptive. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. If you hate somebody, it's going to leak out one way or another. If you yourself have been forgiven much, then it's very easy for you to love much. You easily identify with people who are struggling or failing or defeating because you've been there, or you could easily have been there. So that is where compassion is born. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding. If you have learned from life and you have benefited from instruction, then you're going to end up a wise person and have understanding, be compassionate, empathetic, being willing to listen to other people, whether you agree with them or not. Hear them out. Give other people permission to vent and to express what's on their hearts. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. If you are stupid and stubborn and won't listen, then you probably need a good whooping, and your dad should have done that for you. If not, somebody's going to do that for you. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. I think we all have seen fools who are, we can see they're on a path of self-destruction, and they don't listen to any warnings. And what can we do? If they want to jump off a cliff, we can't stop them. If they want to drive drunk, they're going to have the consequences of that. So there are people that we all know that are not teachable. So we probably should just leave them alone. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. There is temporary safety in being rich, and owning Apple or Google or Amazon, or being a rich man in Silicon Valley with a few million dollars in your bank account and owning an expensive home. And there's a safety and a security in that to a degree. Not long term, because the person who loves his wealth and takes his security in his wealth is in trouble because he's not trusting in God. So there is a temporary safety, being wealthy, being affluent, having money in the bank, retiring with some stocks and bonds, provided the society is stable, but that society might fall apart. The labor of the righteous leads to life. The wages of the wicked leads to sin. The New Testament is very adamant about us working, about the necessity of us getting jobs and being self-sustaining and not living off our parents or not living after the goodwill of other people. I think that's the sort of thing that Howard wrestles with all the time, with these derelicts that come in off the street and they don't want to get a job, they want a free ride. They don't want to contribute. They're leechers and poachers. And the New Testament is clear, if anyone will not work, let him not eat. He who keeps instruction is the way of life, but he who refuses reproof goes astray. We all need stop signs and caution signs and insights from our friends and our mentors and our teachers, because they and our parents, if they're good parents, we all need those checks and balances in life. Anybody who decides to go live life on his own is a fool. That's the idea here. Whatever hides hatred has lying lips. Whoever spreads slander is a fool. That should be obvious. We can do a great deal of damage by just harboring hatred in our lives and prejudice and self-righteousness and evaluating people without enough evidence and condemning people when they haven't done anything wrong. We can destroy other people by innuendo or by accusations that are not true. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. In other words, if you talk too much and you ramble along, you're probably going to mislead people, and you're probably going to, some sin is going to slip in there someplace or other. You probably do more harm than good. So that's where you get the idea that few words are better than many. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lip is wise. In other words, don't speak impulsively, impetuously, until you've heard all the facts. That happens in a court of law. The judge reserves judgment until he's heard all the evidence from both the defense attorney and the prosecuting attorney, and it's all soaked in, and the judge, if he's a good judge, will carefully evaluate everything that's been said, and he'll read the case file on the plaintiff, and if he's a good judge, he'll make a balanced decision to not overly punish a criminal and not vindicate evil people that need some discipline. So that's how we're to live. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. He who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. But you get the idea in the Bible of the worthless fellow who wants to give a lot of advice, but none of it makes any sense at all, so you ignore it. They love to spout off, they love to give their opinion, and you just can't have no, it has no weight or no credibility. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, the heart of the wicked is worth little, the lips of the righteous feed many. But fools die for lack of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. That's a wonderful thing about Jesus, is that he blesses us in spite of ourselves. He heaps love and grace and good things on us, though we are undeserving. And that's, and he makes us rich whether we have any money or not. And God does not, there's no innuendo with God. He does, there's no hidden motives. What you see is what you get with God. There's no hooks in what he says to us. No hidden meanings. To do evil is like sport to a fool. Comes really easy. If you're going to be evil, then you delight in twisting and deceiving and perverting just by your very nature as a sinner. A man of understanding has wisdom. So the wise man is loving and careful and patient and discreet and not impulsive and impetuous, and we don't run around looking for evil in everybody under every stone and trying to fix things in other people's lives. We can't do that. To do evil is like sport to a fool. A man of understanding has wisdom. The fear of the Lord will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. This may be where we get the teachings of Jesus in the Gospels about building your house on a solid foundation and not on sand. And the wind comes in the storm assaults the solid house built on the rock, and it survives. The house built on sand is swept away in a hurricane, in a tornado, in an economic crisis in the nation. So the two ways to build a house. One is to build it with God and with integrity and not build it out of hay, wood, and stubble, and not put your house on a foundation of sand, because it won't be able to stand in the time of storm. So that's a beautiful verse there, to verse 25. The righteous has an everlasting foundation. Well, the foundation of our lives is Jesus, and we can build on the foundation of Jesus with hay, wood, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones. And the day of the Lord will test what every man has done, and if you have built your life on hay, wood, and stubble, it's all going to be swept away. And what will remain would be the part of your life you built on the solid foundation of Jesus. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. That's just a handy little proverb there. If you were to drink some vinegar, it would corrode your teeth. If you go look at a smoking furnace, you may very well hurt your eyes, or at least cry. And it's not fun to have your eyes hurt by acrid smoke. And it's certainly not fun to put acid in your mouth, which vinegar is. The fear of the Lord prolongs days. The years of the wicked will be shortened. The hope of the righteous will be gladness. The expectation of the wicked will perish. The way of the Lord is strength for the upright. Destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. So this is just more good advice that says, wait around a while and you'll see the reality of who are the people of God and who are not. All that's fake and phony and counterfeit is going to be revealed and destroyed. And what's going to stand are the men and women who know Jesus and have anchored their lives in him. And we're indestructible in that sense. The righteous will never be removed. That's a beautiful little verse, or never be moved. The righteous are those who trust in Jesus, of course. The wicked will not inhabit the earth. Wow, that's a really big downer for all of the selfish, rich, powerful captains of industry and moguls and politicians and schemers and professors who ignore God and have built their own lives, because they are not permanent. They look permanent. Great universities look permanent and solid and substantial. And we build our cathedrals out of expensive building materials, presuming that the legacy we're building is going to last. How many people give their libraries to medical foundation or to university in their honor and memory, as if everything they had in their library was permanent, when it's probably not? And what else do they have? The righteous will never be removed. The wicked will not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. The perverse tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. The mouth of the wicked, what is perverse. So if you stop a decision point in your life and you ask for wisdom, you'll always be given wisdom. That's in James. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men without reproaching, and it will be given him. So that's unconditional. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. That means that God wants us to be honest in our banking and bookkeeping and taxes and our personal accounting. That's in the law of Moses, the being fair and honest in business and commerce and loans and finances. Should be obvious. When pride comes, then comes shame. With the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. So in life, we've got a lot of conflicting currents and pressures. And if we are trusting in Jesus, he will wade us through, walk us through all of the currents and crosswinds and pitfalls, and make sure that we stay on the right path and end up on the right path. So God knows how to guide us like a ship through a storm. The integrity of the upright will guide them. The perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath. Righteousness delivers from death. If you're in trouble, you can't buy your way out with money. You can't make promises that are empty when you are on the spot. There's no way you can avoid the confrontation of the Lord when he shows you what he sees about your life. You can't buy your way out of a jam unless you're innocent. If you're innocent, God will, circumstances will prove that you're innocent. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath. Righteousness delivers from death. So no matter what kind of trouble you get into, if you're a righteous person, falsely accused or being taken advantage of or being sued or whatever, if you're trusting in Jesus, you will be vindicated. Might go to jail, might get burned at the stake, you might be a martyr, but that's just very temporary. It doesn't mean a thing. As Jesus said, don't be afraid of somebody who can kill your body and after that can do nothing more to you, but rather fear him who, after he is killed, has the power to send body and spirit into hell. So there's a greater judge, and being killed is no big deal as far as God's concerned. When the wicked man dies, his expectation will perish. The hope of the unjust perishes. This must be very painful for many rich people who come to the end of their lives and their health fails and they don't have anything and they know that they've wasted most of their life and they ought to rightfully fear the judgment of God that's coming and beg for mercy because they really have nothing of lasting value to show for their whole lives. That's the majority of human beings. The righteous is delivered from trouble. It comes to the wicked instead. The hypocrite, with his mouth, destroys his neighbor. But through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. Usually we find accusations are based on innuendo or on one fact out of context or partial evidence. And what clears it all up is to get the full evidence, get the whole story. Oftentimes things look evil on the surface, but they're really not evil if we had more data. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. When the wicked perish, there is shouting. So every human being has this ability to know when he sees good things happening, when he sees a bad dictator deposed, or he sees justice, or he sees a glimmer of hope. We don't like to see bad things happen to us, even if we're going along with the bad. By the blessing of the wicked, the city is exalted, but it's overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor. A man of understanding holds his peace. We don't make hasty judgments. We don't rush to conclusion without patiently getting all the facts out on the table. A talebearer bears secrets. He who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Where there's no counsel, the people fall. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. That is great. We really ought to have a circle of friends that we trust. We ought to have teachers that we respect. We ought to have mentors and people in our lives that we respect and will listen to and get advice from. That's absolutely critically important if we're going to get through life and survive, is abundance of counselors. Doesn't mean that you take the advice of all of your counselors. You just hear them out. And oftentimes other people see you better than you see yourself. Other people watching you, studying you, and they know a lot about you that you didn't know because they pick it up on their radars. He who is surety for a stranger will suffer for it. He who hates, but one who hates being surety is secure. It makes false promises. A gracious woman retains honor. Ruthless men retain riches. The merciful man does good for his own soul. He who is cruel troubles his own flesh. The wicked man does deceptive work. To him who sows righteousness will be a sure reward. As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. Lifestyle. What is the root of your life? On what inner resources are you making decisions? Those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord. That would be deceitful, deceptive, lying, conniving, sneaky, not straightforward. That's what that word perverse is all about. Twisted. Such are the blameless, but such as are blameless, those who are blameless in their ways, are God's delight. God delights in anyone who is transparent, open, honest, no matter what kind of baggage they're taking along with them. Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished. That's what happens to terrorists and murderers and criminals, is they syndicate together, they form alliances and cliques and power groups. Terrorists do that. And they think that by combining their efforts, they've got strength. Even if they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished. The posterity of the righteous will be delivered. So that should be self-evident. As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. This is humorous. You can imagine a woman who's beautiful, but she's got a pig's nose ring in her decorations. So she's absolutely stunningly beautiful, but she's got this character defect of a pig's ring. It's inappropriate that she should have the same kind of a ring in her nose that a pig wears. So there's a humor in this. The desire of the rich righteous, and it all has to do with their lack of discretion, whether she's impulsive or presumptuous or careless in her lifestyle. That's the idea here. As the desire of the righteous is only good, the expectation of the wicked is wrath. So the wicked people keep thinking they're going to succeed in their scheming, and they're going to end up totally frustrated because there's a just God running the universe. One who scatters, there is a person who scatters, yet increases more. There is one who withholds more than what is right, but it leads to poverty. We see inequity in life. We see gamblers and crooks succeeding, and we see rich, godly people failing, and that's just the complexity of life. The generous soul will be made rich. He who waters will himself be watered. The difference here is between a godly lifestyle and a careless lifestyle. A thoughtful, a walk with God versus a careless indifference to God. The generous soul will be made rich. He who waters will also be watered himself. If you give generously, you will be rewarded generously. The people will curse him who withholds grain. Blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. If you have resources and you're hoarding them, and the next door neighbor is starving, then you are out of order and you need to start being generous. He who diligently seeks good finds favor. Trouble will come upon those who seek evil. He who trusts in the riches will fall. He who trusts in his riches will fall. The righteous will flourish like foliage. He who troubles his own house will inherit the wind. The fool will be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, but he who wins souls is wise. If the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the wicked and the sinner? Payback time. So Solomon's wisdom is penetrating to motives, lifestyles, our thoughtful behavior in an evil world, our conduct, and his advice here is the wise advice of a friend and a father who wants us to do well. That's God. And there is payback coming. for everybody who does evil and won't confess it. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. He who hates reproof is stupid. Seen that before? A good man obtains favor from the Lord. A man of wicked devices he will condemn. You have to say here, what's a good man and what's an evil man? And it's not whether you have flaws and defects and faults, it's whether you know Jesus is the difference between being a good man and a wicked man. A man is not established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous cannot be moved. So that just shows the kind of integrity that God gives freely to everybody who knows Jesus. And it goes on, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. She who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. What a contrast here between having a good woman in your life and who builds you up, who affirms you, who helps you, versus this woman who brings shame and disgrace on you, mistreats the kids, tears you down, is critical, is harsh, is destructive to a man's fragile ego and rottenness in his bones. So if you're going to have a home that's a safe place, obviously the woman you marry is important. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. She who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. The words of the wicked are, quote, lie in wait for blood. Let's set a trap. But the mouth of the righteous will deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are no more. The house of the righteous will stand. Come back in 100 years and see how this all works out in our lives. We're going to shine like the sun, and all kinds of people that are rich, famous, and successful will not even be around anymore. So that's how it's all going to come out. A man will be commended according to his wisdom, but he who is of a perverse heart will be despised. God's going to find out and disclose the hidden things of the heart in everybody. And so there's a contrast here. Better is the man who is slighted but has a servant than he who honors himself but lacks bread. A righteous man regards the life of his animal, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. How do you treat your horse or your dog or your cat or your pets? Do you have a basic respect for life, the life particularly of your pets and the animals in your care? If you own a big farm, are you taking care of your cattle and your pigs and your chickens and your hogs? Are you treating them respectfully, feeding them, taking care of them, watching out for disease? Are you a good, what's called animal husband? Animal husbandry would be how you take care of the animals in your care. And that goes to farms and ranches as well as household pets. He who tills his land will be satisfied with bread. He who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding. Can't live your life on wishful thinking. You got to work hard. You got to take care of the farm. You got to plant and till and look after the crops. Otherwise, you're not going to get a harvest. Don't kid yourself. You can't get something for nothing in this life. The wicked covet the catch of the evil men. The wicked covet the catch of evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit. It's easy to envy somebody who has everything and to conspire to try to get the wealth that others have, and that's just an attempt to find a shortcut to hard work and perseverance. The wicked is ensnared, caught in the transgression of his own lips. The righteous will come through trouble. God's going to get you through any trouble that may happen to you. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, but the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. In other words, your deeds will find you out in the long run. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. That's important because we easily can make bad decisions on the basis of hearsay or circumstances or lack of evidence. We just don't know enough about other people to help them or to judge them. And automatically we condemn people that we don't know very well. Just, we always think of that we're doing well and everybody else is not. So that's deceptive. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. He who heeds counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is known at once. A prudent man covers shame. Discretion, long-suffering, patience is what marks a good man here. The fool is impulsive. He gets angry. He would get resentful. He flares up. He makes a fool out of himself. We have that expression. You just made a big fool out of yourself. We can say to somebody. He who speaks truth declares righteousness. A false witness, deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. But the tongue of the wise promotes health. With the tongue, we can slice people to pieces and hurt them terribly by being vindictive or self-righteous or judgmental. And the tongue has this power to do deadly damage or to bless. James. He who speaks truth declares righteousness, a false witness deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercings of the sword, and the tongue of the wise promotes health. The truthful lip shall be established forever. A lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the hearts of those who practice evil. Counselors of peace have joy. No grave trouble will overtake the righteous. No grave trouble, no serious, lasting, devastating trouble is going to come upon you if you're righteous. The wicked will be filled with evil. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Those who deal truthfully are his delight. Transparency and honesty are very pleasing to the Lord. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness. A wise man who does not run around boasting in all the stuff that he knows or all the experience he's been through, boasting about that he's in a superior position to you, that's just not appropriate. The hand of the diligent will rule. The slothful will be put to forced labor. Hang around a while, and you'll see. Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. A good word makes it glad. You've all seen people who are depressed and devastated and unable to function because they're down, because they've been attacked or put down by others. And it's very hard to get people functioning when they had not had affirmation in life and they've been criticized for everything they've ever done. So anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. A good word makes it glad. That's why the words of Jesus are so liberating. The righteous should choose his friends carefully. The way of the wicked leads them astray. The slothful, the lazy man, does not roast what he took in hunting. Diligence is man's precious possession. That would be to not act impulsively or precipitously. In the way of righteousness is life. In its pathway there is no death. Once again, if you're walking with Jesus, he who keeps my word will never know what it is to die. You don't have to worry about troubles because God's gone before you to make an open way for you. Well, that's chapters 10, 11, and 12 in haste. Very hasty. And so I hope you guys will think about these things. And this is all about knowing Jesus. And this kind of deep insight is not found in churches today. It's not common among Christians. So this is, to me, a treasure chest of wisdom from Solomon, wisest man in the ancient world. And this is all wisdom that came, Solomon got from God, so it's eternal wisdom. And it's also part of the inspired Bible. So thank you, guys. And now, how about some comments? Criticisms, critiques, discussion.
Well, Solomon was so wise, but why did he, towards the end, he started getting, he kind of messed up with all his women and everything?
Yeah, Solomon.
Well, like, what happened? I mean, what, I thought if he was so wise, why did he let that happen?
Well, that's Solomon's life. He loved many foreign women. So he